The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Hello, and welcome to this week's World Traveler. I'm Leah Blackman with the Virginia Voice. We continue with the Walt Whitman poem, Song of the Open Road. From this hour, I ordain myself loosed of limits and imaginary lines, going where I list, my own master total and absolute, listening to others, considering well what they say, pausing, searching, receiving, contemplating, gently, but with undeniable will, divesting myself of the holds that would hold me. I inhale great drafts of space. The east and the west are mine, and the north and the south are mine. I am larger, better than I thought. I did not know I held so much goodness. All seems beautiful to me. I can repeat over to men and women, you have done such good to me, I would do the same to you. I will recruit for myself and you as I go. I will scatter myself among men and women as I go. I will toss a new gladness and roughness among them. Whoever denies me it shall not trouble me. Whoever accepts me, he or she shall be blessed and shall bless me. Now, if 1,000 perfect men were to appear, it would not amaze me. Now, if 1,000 beautiful forms of women appeared, it would not astonish me. Now I see the secret of the making of the best persons. It is to grow in the open air and to eat and sleep with the earth. Here a great personal deed has room. Such a deed seizes upon the hearts of the whole race of men. Its diffusion of strength and will overwhelms law and mocks all authority and all argument against it. Here is a test of wisdom. Wisdom is not finally tested in schools. Wisdom cannot be passed from one having it to another not having it. Wisdom is of the soul, is not susceptible of proof, is its own proof, applies to all stages and objects and qualities, and is content, is the certainty of the reality and immortality of things and the excellence of things. Something there is in the float of the sight of things that provokes it out of the soul. Now I re-examine philosophies and religions. They may prove well in lecture rooms, yet not prove it all under the spacious clouds and along the landscape and flowing currents. Here is realization. Here is a man tallied. He realizes here what he has in him, the past, the future, majesty, love. If they are vacant of you, you are vacant of them. Only the kernel of every object nourishes. Where is he who tears off the husk for you and me? Where is he that undoes stratagems and envelops for you and me? Here is adhesiveness. It is not previously fashioned. It is apropos. Do you know what it is as you pass to be loved by strangers? Do you know the talk of those turning eyeballs? Here is the efflux of the soul. The efflux of the soul comes from within through empowered gates, ever-provoking questions. These yearnings, why are they? These thoughts in the darkness, why are they? Why are there men and women that while they are nigh me, the sunlight expands my blood? Why, when they leave me, do my penance of joy sink flat and lank? Why are there trees I never walk under, but large and melodious thoughts descend upon me? I think they hang there winter and summer on those trees and always drop fruit as I pass. What is it I interchange so suddenly with strangers? What was some driver as I ride on the seat by his side? What was some fisherman drawing his seine by the shore as I walk by and pause? What gives me to be free to a woman's and man's goodwill? What gives them to be free to mine? The efflux of the soul is happiness. Here is happiness. I think it pervades the open air, waiting at all times. Now it flows unto us. We are rightly charged. Here rises the fluid and attaching character. The fluid and attaching character is the freshness and sweetness of man and woman. The herbs of the morning sprout no fresher and sweeter every day out of the roots of themselves than it sprouts fresh and sweet continually out of itself. Toward the fluid and attaching character exudes the sweat of the love of young and old. From it falls distilled the charm that mocks beauty and attainments. Toward it heaves the shuddering longing ache of contact. Allons, whoever you are, come travel with me. Traveling with me, you find what never tires. The earth never tires. The earth is rude, silent, incomprehensible at first. Nature is rude and incomprehensible at first. Be not discouraged. Keep on. There are divine things well enveloped. I swear to you there are divine things more beautiful than words can tell. Allons. We must not stop here. However sweet these laid-up stores, however convenient this dwelling, we cannot remain here. However sheltered this port, and however calm these waters, we must not anchor here. However welcome the hospitality that surrounds us, we are permitted to receive it but a little while. Allons, the inducement shall be greater. We will sail pathless and wild seas. We will go where winds blow, waves dash, and the Yankee clipper speeds by under full sail. Allons, with power, liberty, the earth, the elements, health, defiance, gaiety, self-esteem, curiosity. Allons, from all formulas. From your formulas, O bad eye and materialistic priest. The stale cadaver blocks up the passage. The burial waits no longer. Allons, yet take warning. He traveling with me needs the best blood, thews, endurance. None may come to the trial till he or she bring courage and health. Come not here if you have already spent the best of yourself. Only those may come who come in sweet and determined bodies. No diseased person, no rum drinker or venereal taint is permitted here. I and mine do not convince by arguments, similes, rhymes. We convince by our presence. Listen. I will be honest with you. I do not offer the old smooth prizes, but offer rough new prizes. These are the days that must happen to you. You shall not heap up what is called riches. You shall scatter with lavish hand all that you earn or achieve. You but arrive at the city to which you were destined. You hardly settle yourself to satisfaction before you are called by an irresistible call to depart. You shall be treated to the ironical smiles and mockings of those who remain behind you. What beckonings of love you shall receive, you shall only answer with passionate kisses of parting. You shall not allow the hold of those who spread their reached hands toward you. Allons, after the great companions and to belong to them, they too are on the road. They are the swift and majestic men. They are the greatest women. Enjoyers of calms of seas and storms of seas, sailors of many a ship, walkers of many a mile of land, habitués of many distant countries, habitués of far distant dwellings, trusters of men and women, observers of cities, solitary toilers, pausers and contemplators of tufts, blossoms, shells of the shore. Dancers at wedding dances, kissers of brides, tender helpers of children, bearers of children, soldiers of revolts, standers by gaping graves, lowers down of coffins, journeyers over consecutive seasons, over the years, the curious years each emerging from that which preceded it, journeyers as with companions, namely their own diverse phases, fourth steppers from the latent unrealized baby days, journeyers gaily with their own youth, journeyers with their bearded and well-grained manhood, journeyers with their womanhood, ample, unsurpassed, content, journeyers with their own sublime old age of manhood or womanhood, old age, calm, expanded, broad with the haughty breath of the universe. Old age, flowing free with the delicious nearby freedom of death. Alone, to that which is endless as it was beginningless. To undergo much, tramps of days, rests of nights, to merge all in the travel they tend to, and the days and nights they tend to. Again to merge them in the start of superior journeys, to see nothing anywhere but what you may reach it and pass it, to conceive no time, however distant, but what you may reach it and pass it, to look up or down no road, but it stretches and waits for you, however long, but it stretches and waits for you, to see no being, not gods or any, but you also go thither, to see no possession, but you may possess it, enjoying all without labor or purchase, abstracting the feast, yet not abstracting one particle of it, to take the best of the farmer's farm and the rich man's elegant villa, and the chaste blessings of the well-married couple, and the fruits of orchards and flowers of gardens, to take to your use out of the compact cities as you pass through, to carry buildings and streets with you afterward wherever you go, to gather the minds of men out of their brains as you encounter them, to gather the love out of their hearts, to take your lovers on the road with you for all that you leave them behind you, to know the universe itself as a road, as many roads, as roads for traveling souls, all parts away for the progress of souls, all religion, all solid things, arts, governments, all that was or is apparent upon this globe or any globe, falls into niches and corners before the procession of souls along the grand roads of the universe. Of the progress of the souls of men and women along the grand roads of the universe, all of the progress is a needed emblem and sustenance. Forever alive, forever forward, stately, solemn, sad, withdrawn, baffled, mad, turbulent, feeble, dissatisfied, desperate, proud, fond, sick, accepted by men, rejected by men. They go, I know that they go, but I know not where they go. But I know that they go toward the best, toward something great. Whoever you are, come forth, or man or woman, come forth. You must not stay sleeping and dallying there in the house, though you built it, or though it has been built for you. Out of the dark confinement, out from behind the screen. It is useless to protest. I know all and expose it. Behold through you as bad as the rest, through the laughter, dancing, dining, supping of people, inside of dresses and ornaments, inside of those washed and trim faces. Behold a secret, silent loathing and despair. No husband, no wife, no friend, trusted to hear the confession. Another self, a duplicate of everyone, skulking and hiding it goes. Formless and wordless through the streets of the cities, polite and bland in the parlors, in the cars of railroads, in steamboats, in the public assembly. Home to the houses of men and women at the table, in the bedroom, everywhere. Smartly attired, countenance smiling, form upright, death under the breastbones, hell under the skull bones. Under the broadcloth and gloves, under the ribbons and artificial flowers, keeping fair with the customs, speaking not a syllable of itself, speaking of anything else, but never of itself. Alone, through struggles and wars, the goal that was named cannot be countermanded. Have the past struggles succeeded? What has succeeded? Yourself? Your nation? Nature? Now understand me well. It is provided in the essence of things that from any fruition of success, no matter what, shall come forth something to make a greater struggle necessary. My call is the call of battle. I nourish active rebellion. He going with me must go well armed. He going with me goes often with spare diet, poverty, angry enemies, desertions. Allons, the road is before us. It is safe. I have tried it. My own feet have tried it well. Be not detained. Let the paper remain on the desk unwritten and the book on the shelf unopened. Let the tools remain in the workshop. Let the money remain unearned. Let the school stand. Mind not the cry of the teacher. Let the preacher preach in his pulpit. Let the lawyer plead in the court and the judge expound the law. Camarado, I give you my hand. I give you my love more precious than money. I give you myself before preaching the law. Will you give me yourself? Will you come travel with me? Shall we stick by each other as long as we live? That was Song of the Open Road by Walt Whitman. Our next article is from itamerica.org. Open roads, like rivers, invite us to muse about the trajectory of life. By Clay Jenkinson, September 7th, 2024. Whither goest thou, America, in thy shiny car in the night? Jack Kerouac. Not long ago, I was sitting at my dining room desk in my Airstream, reading a book about Jack Kerouac. After a long week in Vail, I was weary and camped in an RV park on Colorado's Cache La Poudre River. I sat sipping red wine, a fine Bordeaux left over from a reception in Vail, and listening to the Grateful Dead, the Beatles, and Joe Cocker. I don't know what has gotten into me, frankly. Music is usually a small part of my life. I just read a sentence where the words Route 6 appear. Immediately, my mind reverted to U.S. 6 through the Vail Valley, where it has been appropriated and diminished by luxury ski condos, edgy restaurants where presentation and locally sourced protein are important, strip malls, and upmarket subdivisions. But seeing the word in a book about Jack Kerouac took me, Route 6 took me, out into Utah, where U.S. 6 becomes one of America's starkest and most beautiful highways. On his first legendary trip into the American West, Jack Kerouac thought he would take Route 6 all the way to Denver and beyond. I'd been poring over maps of the United States in Patterson for months, even reading books about the pioneers and savoring names like Platt and Cimarron and so on. And on the road map was one long red line called Route 6 that led from the tip of Cape Cod clear to Ely, Nevada, and there dipped down to Los Angeles. I'll just stay on Route 6 all the way to Ely, I said to myself, and confidently started. The best laid plans of mice and men go off awry. Kerouac soon learned that Route 6, at least in the East, was not a good hitchhiker road, and he wound up taking a bus to Chicago to get started. I admit to being drawn to the single ribbon of transcontinental highway idea. For a long time, I have wanted to drive one of the great north-south highways, exclusively from the Canadian border to the Mexican border. Perhaps I'd choose US 85, the first highway that transects the American West, if you regard the Great Plains as the American West. That takes you through Butte Country, the Black Hills, and the eastern foothills of the Rocky Mountains. I'd like to affix a GoPro to the front of my vehicle and have it take one photograph every 30 seconds from border to border. Just as rivers serve as an automatic and compelling metaphor for our life journeys, so roads invite us to muse about the trajectory of our lives. It's one thing to zigzag from Chicago to Santa Monica on a wide variety of roads, interstate highways, U.S. highways, state and local roads, farm-to-market roads, etc. That's generally how I travel. However, It is quite different to follow a single road to the extent that it is still possible. That road might be the legendary Route 66, the highway Steinbeck's Jobes took from Sallisaw, Oklahoma to the Promised Land. Many of the old national highways have been partly absorbed or obliterated by the interstate highway system, most notably Route 66, which was officially decommissioned in 1985. It seems to me that following a single highway all the way across, as Ma Jobes said, would be especially enlightening, an intriguing window on America, a semi-latitudinal snapshot. A single highway would be a lovely organizing principle for a long journey. Just as following Steinbeck's 1960 Travels with Charlie, Trek Around the Perimeter of America, has been a valuable organizing principle for my 2024 journey. When I was in the Pacific Northwest not long ago, on phase two of my Steinbeck trip, I found myself out on the Olympic Peninsula. I had to get to Salinas, California, on a specific date, so I mostly drove US 101, a highway I love. It brings back memories of my first trip down the West Coast decades ago, in the first car I ever owned, on my way to a new and exciting phase of my life. I like the fact that, at times, US 101 is an appalling 8-lane traffic corridor near California's great cities, and at other times, it quiets down and becomes surprisingly narrow and funky. If I hadn't been in a hurry by then, I would have driven up to the top of the Olympic Peninsula to touch base at or near its northern terminus before plunging south through some of the most beautiful landscapes in America, including the Redwoods and, of course, the Golden Gate Bridge at San Francisco. We do not take a trip takes us, John Steinbeck. But I had promises to keep and many miles to go. Kerouac soon realized that the romance of the road works in unexpected ways. Or, as Steinbeck would put it in 1961, we do not take a trip takes us. First, there is the idea of the romance of the open road, how we imagine it as we pore over maps, make lists of places we want to visit or revisit, read books of the road, and imagine the encounters we will have. Second, there is the actual trip we take. The actual journey challenges the fantasy we concocted back home at the kitchen table. For example, Steinbeck was underwhelmed by Fargo, North Dakota, which he had envisioned as a magical, mythical place, something out of a Kit Carson dime novel of the frontier. "I must admit," he writes, "the town was as traffic-troubled, as neon-plastered, as cluttered and milling with activity as any other up-and-coming town of 46,000 souls." Kerouac wanted to hitchhike straight from New York to Denver and beyond. This was in 1947. He was about to inaugurate the Beat Generation. Nobody stopped on Route 6 to pick him up, and he got soaked from a rainstorm. He took the bus. Somehow, Kerouac manages to make a Greyhound bus seem romantic. I remember them before smoking was banned. Not even Simon and Garfunkel could make a long Greyhound ride back then seem heroic. I understand why Kerouac wanted to follow US 6 to Denver. I spend much time devising whimsical journeys. Cross a nation eating only at Pizza Hut. Cross a nation listening only to the complete works of Charles Dickens. Cross a nation without ever checking into a motel. Cross a nation stopping at every private museum. Cross a nation solely on gravel roads. Crossing the nation without ever looking at a map or Google. Thanks to some highway gerrymandering in California in 1964, Route 6 now terminates in Bishop, California, right at the base of the highest peaks of the Sierra Nevada Mountains. Too bad for Route 6, but okay by me, because Bishop is the home of the famous Schatz Bakery, where I have purchased some of the finest bread of my life. Before 1964, Route 6 terminated at Long Beach, California, and then it was the longest continuous highway in America, Provincetown, Massachusetts, to Southern California. These musings at the lovely, modest RV park on the Cache La Poudre in Northern Colorado made me think about Jack Kerouac, 1922 to 1969, and John Steinbeck, 1902 to 1968, at my assigned picnic table. Did they ever meet? I've checked biographies and asked my friends who are experts. The answer appears to be no. Did Kerouac read Steinbeck's novels? Almost certainly. Did Steinbeck read On the Road? Probably, but not certainly. What would Steinbeck have thought of Kerouac? My guess is that he would have agreed with Truman Capote, who said of On the Road, "That's not writing, that's typing." But we can't be sure. Steinbeck was a generous reader. What would Kerouac have thought about Steinbeck's books? I don't see how you can dedicate your life to adventures on America's open roads without admiring The Grapes of Wrath. But Steinbeck may have seemed square to Kerouac. Everything I wrote in the preceding paragraph is speculation. We don't know. Steinbeck was 20 years older than Kerouac. The generational difference could not be more pronounced. It's hard to imagine Kerouac driving in a truck camper around the country, and it's equally hard to imagine Steinbeck hitchhiking the continent. They may have never met and probably could not find much to enjoy in each other, but they share some important characteristics. They both published their great works in the heart of the 20th century. They both wrote their most famous books fast. Steinbeck wrote The Grapes of Wrath in 100 days in a single tall ledger book. Kerouac wrote the first draft of On the Road in 3 weeks on a continuous sheet of paper. He said he was hepped up on bennies, methamphetamines, but it was probably just caffeine. They both listened hard to the sounds of actual Americans who did not travel in the same circles as Lionel Trilling or Edmund Wilson. Steinbeck famously said he did not want his characters to talk like junior college professors. They both used some words the people of America or their publishers were not quite ready to see in print and fought to keep their books raw. They both found a way to evoke the romance of the road in America. Kerouac specializes in it. Even the Joads, refugees desperately seeking a better life in California, evoke the freedom of the open road as they scrounge gas, food, and spare tires on Route 66. Camping along the side of the route with other Okies, the best chapters in The Grapes of Wrath are road chapters. We will finish this article next week. That's all for this week's World Traveler. I'm Leah Blackman for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.